Again, it's good to be with you this evening in the Lord's house. And we are thankful for this opportunity to come and to share God's Word. I'd like for you, if you will, to open your Bibles with us this evening to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 43. Ezekiel chapter 43. I mentioned this morning, I believe it was during the Sunday school, that there are some subjects that I do love to teach on. Sometimes they are a burden because I do love these subjects. I do love the things of God, and I believe that's one of the reasons, and should be the reason, that we love these different things, is because it is God's Word. These things are important and special and beloved to Him, and so as His children, they should be special and beloved to us as well. And one of those subjects is that of the Lord's New Testament church. And I was thinking on this, and it almost seems like once you come to see and understand the doctrine of grace, God's sovereignty and election, you see it everywhere in the Scripture. I mean, once you know what it is, and it's there, everywhere you turn, everywhere you read, you see something that speaks to you and say, you know, that talking about God's sovereignty there. It's talking about His election. I think that the same is also true about the Lord's New Testament church. Once you understand the truth of it, and we say that because there are so many false teachings and ideas and concepts concerning the Lord's church. But once you come to know the truth, as you read God's Word, you see it everywhere. And I am particularly fond of finding verses of Scripture in the Old Testament. And I can be, you know, we've been studying through the book of Psalms on Sunday night in our church and different things. And I constantly read through Psalms as we're going through there, and I'll see something that just speaks to me. I say, man, there's a good message in there on the Lord's church. You know, I just see these things. And this is one of those texts. So if you will follow along with me as we begin to read, beginning with verse 5, and we want to read down through verse 12, Ezekiel chapter 43. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. And I heard Him speaking unto me out of the house, and the man stood by me. And he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne and the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever, and my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places, in their setting of their threshold by my thresholds, and their post by my post, and the wall between me and them. They have even defiled my holy name by their abominations that they have committed, wherefore I have consumed them in mine anger. Now let them put away their whoredom and the carcasses of their kings far from me, and I will dwell in the midst of them forever. Thou, son of man, show the house to the house of Israel, that they may be ashamed of their iniquities, and let them measure the pattern. And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof and all the ordinances thereof and all the forms thereof and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. I think you can see with me where there's preaching here on the Lord's New Testament church. Title of our message is, Behold, This is the Law of the House. And as I looked at this, and especially the latter part there in verses 11 and 12, where he's saying, show them, you know, all the pattern, all the ordinances, all the law thereof, the going out, the coming in. I think, man, you could take that and you can preach a whole series of messages on the Lord's church. On the authority of the church, on the ordinances of the church, on all these things. You can just lay it out there, line by line, precept upon precept, and just preach it. But there are some other things here that we see that the purpose here, that, and as I was just, even now as I'm reading this, notice he says, and the man stood by me. Now, who was the man? I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ. Because notice what he said. The place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, where I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel forever. My holy name. Who else is it speaking of? Oh, this is, I believe, one of those instances when before his incarnation, the eternal Son of God, he existed before his birth. That was just the means by which he came into this world and was made flesh that he might die for his people. That was him becoming the Lamb of God. But he has existed from all eternity. He is eternally the Son of God. He is God. And so, I believe he appeared here to Ezekiel and spoke to him. This is my house. These are my people. And this is the law of the house. He's laying down the law. And one of the things he said, because the problem had been, he said, now we're going to rectify this problem. They're not going to do this anymore. But because of these issues, because of these problems, he said, my anger, I have consumed them. One of the burdens I have is I believe that the Lord's people and his churches, we are in need of revival. I believe that part of the reason that our country is in the condition that it's in is because we as God's people have gotten away from the things of God. And at some point, we as God's people have to acknowledge and take upon ourselves the responsibility of that sin and repent before God and ask God to forgive us of our sins, if for even if America never turns around, the Lord is coming back, and He's going to receive us to Himself. And when He comes, my desire is to see that His people and His churches are prepared and ready and desires and serving the Lord when He comes back. And so, this is a great burden on my heart, and a desire and a prayer is that God will revive His churches and His people. And so he points some things out here. When he talks about their abominations, and in particularly, he says, in their setting of their thresholds by my thresholds, and their post by my post. What's he saying? Well, back in Ezekiel chapter 22, I believe he sheds a little bit of light on what he's talking about. Ezekiel 22 and verse 26. He said, "Her priests have violated my law and have profaned mine holy things. They have put no difference between the holy and the profane, neither have they shown difference between the unclean and the clean, and have hid their eyes from my Sabbath, and I am profaned among them." Now, what does that mean? They have profaned. To something that is profane is something that's common. It's just the opposite, if you will, of the idea behind something which is sanctified, something that is hallowed. Something that God has sanctified is something that He has separated unto Himself for His own use. It is peculiar unto Him and to be used only for Him. You see, when Babylon, when the king there, and they had taken Israel captive, and they had looted the temple, and they had carried off the gold and service and things from the temple, those things were hallowed. And when he decided to bring them out and use them for their feast and party, they were profaning the things of God. They were using those things that had been hallowed and set apart for God's service only for their own service. And that was the night that the handwriting appeared on the wall and Babylon fell. They had profaned. That is, they took that which was holy, that which was sanctified and set apart by God for His use, and used it for their own or for a common usage. And likewise, when we take that which is our own, that which is common, and lift it up and lay it beside those things which are holy, we are bringing down those things that are holy. And that was kind of the concept here when he said, "You put your thresholds right next to mine," as though it's all the same. "You've put your posts right next to mine." And understand that the latter part of our text, in verse 12, Ezekiel 43:12 said, "Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof round about shall be most holy." This is God's. It's set apart for Him, for His worship, for His use, and nothing else. I believe that we have come to a place that we do not appreciate fully, as we ought, the sacredness of the things of God, especially when it comes to His house and the Lord's day. And we have to be honest with ourselves. Because I've had to examine myself. Some of the things are things that, you know, the Lord has shown me. And at different times in my life, I shudder at the things I did in ignorance and things. And God had shown me later. And I've had to go back and say, "Lord, forgive me." But we have to get over thinking in terms of, well, the Lord's church is out there, and I know of this church down here, and yeah, they have some problems. I can see where they need to repent, and this church. We have to make it our own. We have to see. And that's one of the things that he says here in verse 11. Notice this. "And if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof." In other words, he's saying, you know, show them how it ought to be done. The issue is, we're not going to get it right. until we're willing to see where we've done it wrong. Once we realize what we're doing wrong and acknowledge it, then we're ready for God to teach us how to do it right. So, some examples of how we have set our thresholds by His and our posts by His, where we have profaned the things of God and not put a difference. We've not understood that sacredness and made a difference and separated between the profane and that which is common, that which is daily and that which is ours, and that which is holy that belongs to God that He has set apart for His service. One of the areas over in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 14 down through 18. Yeah, I better turn over there myself because I know I will not get it all right if I try to quote all of it. But particularly verse 14. He says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers." See, number one, if you're saved, if you're a child of God, and you have followed the Lord in scriptural baptism and become a member of one of His churches, you have been set apart unto Him. You belong to Him. He says, and you're not your own. You've been bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your soul, which are His. We are not our own to do with as we please, but we belong to Him. He has sanctified us. That means He set us apart unto Himself. We're His peculiar people. And we're to be zealous of good works. And so our lives are not our own just to consume, to do the things that we want to do. But we belong to Him and are to be used for His honor and glory. And it is especially true when he tells us here, and we know this, we've taught this, but I believe as God's people, this is one of the areas we have really gotten lax in over the years, that if you're saved, if you're single, and you're saved, you belong to the Lord, you're not to date, much less marry, a lost person. You're set apart to God. And if we understand the language there Paul uses in Corinthians, it reveals to us that the people were guilty of unequal yokes, and the import of what he's saying is stop it. Stop being unequally yoked with unbelievers. I remember, and I have to draw upon personal experiences. This is my perspective. This is from which I've learned a lot of these things, and I can look back upon the things that the Lord's led me through and share that with you as to understanding some of the things I'm talking about. I remember when I first started going to church, I hadn't been raised in church. Some people came by and was visiting. They began to pick me up and take me to church. And one of the first things that people wanted to do was to match me up with somebody. Evidently, there was more girls in the church at that time than there were boys. And here I was, man, there's new territory here. I was a new boy coming into church, and they immediately wanted to pair me up with somebody. Now, granted, I was lost at the time. But the person they wanted to match me up with was a lost person. Well, the Lord in His providence didn't allow... I was not attracted to her. I didn't date her or anything. The Lord saved me. And I kind of paired up with one of the deacon's daughters that was a member of the church. Oh, I tell you, so you young people, you sit back there. I know where I went to church, Well, it's probably pretty close to where my son and daughter are sitting back there. It was kind of this side of the church, in toward the back, about two-thirds way. All the teenagers sitting back there together. Now, I remember sitting back there. So I know what goes on, because I was there. Singing songs, holding the hymn book, holding hands with my girlfriend under the hymn book while we're sitting there sharing the hymn book, you know. Boy, I was faithful in church. I was there every service. Because that's when I got to see her. And I remember, I can visualize, I can remember my surroundings when this happened. I was in the car, I was driving down Bryan Station Road, going in toward Lexington. Right there, Bryan Station Road comes and meets New Circle Road. I don't know if you're not familiar with Lexington, it doesn't really mean that much to you, but I can see it in my mind. I was coming up to that intersection, the light was red, and I was stopped there, and I was talking to the Lord, and I was wondering and postulating in my mind, why am I so faithful in going to church? If it wasn't for this girl, would I be that faithful? I was questioning that. Guess what happened? The very next service, I walk in, she breaks up with me. Go figure. I was crushed. I was devastated. I'm a teenager. Girlfriend breaks up with me right there in church. And I was sitting there, I mean, my hands were shaking and everything. And so I would notice all these couples. And I just felt so alone. And I was tempted not to go to church because it just reminded me of this. But I thought to myself, you know, I need the Lord now more than ever. And so if I need His help, I need to be where He is. I need to be in church. And so what I did, I moved from back there right up here. Front row, right up front. And a funny thing happened. I began to pay more attention. I learned more the first 2 months sitting up there than I had for the previous 2 years. I remember when I first started going there, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know the books of the Bible. Brother Gorman would be up there preaching. He'd announce a text. And by the time I could find it, he is 3 or 4 texts down the road from where I finally got there. But I got to the point that I knew how he thought, I anticipated, and I could turn ahead to the text that I knew he was going to call next and be sitting there waiting for him. Matter of fact, I'd be sitting there and he'd be preaching and I'd be noticing a verse of Scripture and I'd start thinking in my mind how it could be preached and outline it in my mind, and I'd stop and say, Tim, what in the world are you doing? You're not a preacher. Quit that. Scared me. But the Lord was calling me to preach. He tells us in 1 Timothy how that we ought to behave ourselves in the house of God. You know, as I said, I've been there, I've done that. And the things of God, we need to understand, these are sacred. When we come into His house, we're coming into His presence. This morning we're talking about, He is surrounded by holiness. Be ye holy, for I am holy. He wants us to be a holy people, separated unto Him. His peculiar possession, bringing the honor and glory into His presence that is due unto Him. The services and things are not here for our entertainment. They're not here just to make us feel good. The service is here to worship and honor God and bring the glory and the praise that is due to His name and offer it up to Him. And when we do it for any other reason, when we come to be seen and to be appreciated for our talents and abilities, to receive the praise of men, to entertain one another, or whatever else, we're setting our threshold beside His threshold. We're placing our doorpost, as it were, by His. And we're not making a difference between that which is holy and that which is common. And we're profaning the holy things of God. And another thing that he mentions here in particular is that we have profaned His Sabbaths. The Lord, from the beginning, in 6 days He created the heavens and the earth and everything that's in them, and the seventh day He rested. And He set that as a pattern for us, in that He has given to us 6 days in which to get everything done that we need to get done for ourselves. Whether it's work, whether it's recreation, entertainment, whatever. 6 days. But one day in seven He has set apart for Himself. And that belongs to Him. That's His Sabbath. He has set it apart. He has hallowed it. And as God's people, we are to recognize that and reverence that and keep it holy also unto Him. Now, I believe in the Old Testament, it was the seventh day. It was Saturday. That was the Jewish Sabbath. But I believe that He has established another day. In Psalm 118, 24, He says, "This is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." There is a day that He has set apart unto Himself. And so, one day in seven. In the New Testament, it's the first day of the week. One of the things you learn as you study the book of Hebrews, and he's contrasting what the Jews received under the Old Covenant and what we as believers have under the New Covenant. And that which we have in Jesus Christ is better than that which was in the Old. They had high priests, they had a tabernacle, they had sacrifices, so do we. Our high priest is Jesus Christ. Our Lamb is Jesus Christ. They had a Sabbath day, so do we. The Old Testament Sabbath they had in recognition of God's finished work of creation. The New Testament Sabbath is in recognition of God's finished work of redemption as epitomized by His resurrection. And so the pattern is the same. 6 days. Now, all days belong to God. They're all His. The earth, all the fullness thereof, it all belongs to God. He gives us seven in which to accomplish the things we need to get done in. But one day in seven He has reserved unto Himself. That's His day. And we refer to it. It's the Lord's day. Sunday is the Lord's day. Let me ask you something. How many Lord's Day are there in a year? How many Lord's Days are there in a year? 52? We don't keep 52 Lord's Days. I went back through a calendar for this year. Even if you come to church every Sunday, you're only keeping 47 Lord's Days. Say, so how's that? January 1st this year was New Year's Day. I forget the date because it wasn't marked on the calendar, but not long after that, one Sunday was Super Bowl Sunday. Kind of laugh and see where I'm going with this, but it gets serious. May 13th, look on your calendar. It's Mother's Day. June 17th, Father's Day. November the 11th, Veterans Day. I thought it was supposed to be the Lord's Day. And there's nothing wrong with honoring our mothers, our fathers, our veterans. That's not the point. That's not the issue. But think with me, how did it come to pass that we have a Mother's Day? Because it kind of started with that. Some beloved, well-meaning person thought that there ought to be a day set aside in which we honor mothers. And he worked and promoted this idea until the Congress of the United States voted and set aside one Sunday as Mother's Day. Think about it. What right, what authority does the Congress have to take one of the Lord's days and set it aside for anything? And we allowed it. Father's Day, the same thing. Veterans Day, whatever. Once we become accustomed to it, then it becomes more and more easier to allow other entities to dictate. And think with me about this. Again, you know, there's nothing wrong, and there's much in the Bible that we could teach on the virtues of motherhood, the virtues of fatherhood, the virtues of our veterans, on all these things. But how many of us as preachers have felt compelled because it's Mother's Day, it's Father's Day, it's some day that's been set apart on the calendar to preach on that? In other words, men's opinions, their ideas, the authority of the Congress, and sometimes, God forbid, the Roman Catholic Church has dictated to us what we will preach on any given Lord's Day. This past Mother's Day, it kind of, I tend not to pay a whole lot of attention to holidays. I'm so busy working in different things that dates just slip up on me. And so when I was preparing what I was going to preach one Sunday, the Lord gave me a message, and it wasn't until later I realized, oh, that's Mother's Day. But the Lord already gave me a message. It didn't have anything to do with mothers. And so I preached what the Lord laid on my heart. And I think, see, that's the Holy Spirit is supposed to lead as to what our service will be based around. The Holy Spirit guides us. God has laid down in His Word the criteria for His worship. It's the Holy Spirit that is to give me the message, or to give your pastor the message, what you is needed for you to hear on any given day. Not the Congress of the United States. Not some well-meaning, perhaps even a child of God, well-meaning individual. But you see where we've taken away, not only away from God, one of His days, and set it aside for a use that we have determined, but we've also limited ourselves in allowing the Holy Spirit to guide and direct what is preached. And we wonder why there isn't more spiritual power in our churches and why we aren't more spiritual. Six days are ours. But we've not been content with those 6 days. And we've had to use the Lord's days for our own purposes. Verse 11 says, if they be ashamed of all that they have done, show them the form of the house and the fashion thereof, and the goings out thereof, and the comings in thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and all the forms thereof, and all the laws thereof, and write it in their sight, that they may keep the whole form thereof, and all the ordinances thereof, and do them. This is the law of the house. Upon the top of the mountain, the whole limit thereof roundabout shall be most holy. Behold, this is the law of the house. And so we need to realize where that we have come short. Look at and examine what are the forms and the ordinances, the laws thereof, what is the going in and the coming out thereof, and observe to do that. As Jesus admonished us when he commissioned his church, teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. Though I'm with you always. He was present there with Ezekiel. He picked Ezekiel up and set him down in the courtyard. It says, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Beloved, that is my desire, to see every one of the Lord's churches see the glory of God fill the house. That God's Spirit, not just present, but manifesting His presence and power. That we would be moved to obey Him in all things. People would be saved. Our witness would be effective. That God's glory might fill the house. Ezekiel 44 and verse 23. Then let this be our desire, our practice. And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and the profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean. And in controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgments, and they shall keep my laws and my statutes in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths. When the Lord returns, know the image presented in the book of Revelation of the seven golden lampstands, and in the midst stood the Lord Jesus Christ, beholding and judging that which is going on in His churches. And all my assemblies, he said here, well, that doesn't preach church. I don't know what. You can't find, you know, a text in the New Testament that is any more applicable than when he says, in mine assemblies, plural, local churches. He said, all my assemblies. That when He comes and He returns, He will find us doing just that. Lord bless you.